Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in.
That's the sound of Becca Tilley's voice.
I'm back. We're over Zoom, but I am functioning more than I have in the last, how long, like 12 days, 11 days.
And you know what's interesting? We do the podcast together every single week, but you always intro it. You always do the intro. Yeah. And it's really weird doing it. Like, I'm like, I felt like I had to be like, it's not Becca, it's Tanya, in case you couldn't tell the difference in our voices.
I know. I was weirdly thinking about that today, of like you doing the intro and how that must be so weird.
It is weird.
Maybe we should alternate so that it's not weird when one of us is out.
Yeah. It's definitely like it's an interesting pivot. But yeah, you know,
I really appreciate you taking control, just being the boss that you are and headlining the podcast for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. You know what's so funny is on the weekend show for The Vibe, EJ was on vacation too. And so we were like, I was doing something and I was like, Sisney's in for EJ. And we had Brad Goreski on my podcast for Becca Tilley. And I was like, you know, it's summer when just like, it's just everybody's just filling in for everybody.
Yeah, well, I wish I was like on a nice vacation or something for summer, but
right.
Yeah, I for anyone who doesn't know, I had COVID. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to track where you get it right now, but I went to a concert, which was the only thing where I was like in a big crowd of people, which I think is where I got it. And a lot of people were asking, you know, when I posted on Instagram about it, there was a lot of people curious about if I was vaccinated, and I'm not vaccinated. So it wasn't like a breakthrough case. And to be honest, I had had a few conversations about getting vaccinated the following week, and then I got COVID. So as soon as I'm able to, I'll be going and getting my vaccine. But it's kind of a crazy, situation right now, because I know a ton of people who are vaccinated who are breakthrough cases getting it. So it's kind of a, you know, I think it's just like people being aware and like respecting that the virus is still here. But I wish if I could go back, I would go back and wear a mask to that event, like knowing I wasn't vaccinated going into a place with like a ton of people, I would have, you know, worn a mask. But anyways, I had, I'm trying to think, on Tuesday of last week, I posted about being like super exhausted.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember it. And I was like, I still think I'm like deficient in vitamins, because on a regular basis, I feel like I don't have a normal amount of energy. But that day I was like, I cannot do anything. Like, I had so much work to do and I just could not get myself to go. And, that next morning on Wednesday, I woke up and I had like the back pain that, you know, my mom and my aunt had it, both of my aunts and my sister, and they all talked about the back pain. And so I rolled over and like my whole spine was just like achy. And I haven't been sick in a really long time, like sick with like the fever and the aches. And so I like knew. I literally said out loud, I was like, I have COVID. And I had actually taken an at-home test because we were going to Napa that weekend.
Yeah.
And because I wasn't vaccinated, we had to take two tests that we did at home. And so I had sent that in the day before. And then I decided to go and get a test at urgent care. And that day, on Wednesday, my at-home test came back positive, which... to me, I was like, my only symptom at that point was just that being really tired.
Right.
And I did it myself. And so that one came back positive. And then I got the call from the urgent care that it was positive, which, like I said, I wasn't surprised. I just like knew. I had like a gut feeling that I had it. And then I just progressively got just more uncomfortable and sick. And I'm really good at resting, luckily. So I was like, I'm just going to let my body like not do anything. And I was drinking a ton of water and fluids and like really on top of it. And then I lost my taste and smell, which is the weirdest. It's the weirdest thing ever.
But like, I remember that morning because we were supposed to do the podcast that night. That's when we had Chelsea Handler. And the thing I keep thinking about is we always do the podcast on Mondays. Like that's just like how we just, it's, that's when we do our podcast. And for some reason, Chelsea Handler couldn't do that Monday. So we moved it to Wednesday that week. And had we done the podcast, you would have just been here. We would have been next to each other. Uh-huh. Like again, you hear that I am vaccinated. And so, but you do hear the breakthrough cases of people getting it. And if you had it and you were right next to me for multiple hours, like,
I know.
It's just, what are the odds?
I know. And to be honest, like, that's kind of the part that's been, that was like the hardest part at first was like, I felt really like guilty of the people that I had potentially exposed. Like, even though majority of the people around me were vaccinated, I still like, I don't know. I had a really hard time thinking about that aspect of it. And I had contacted everyone to let them know, you know, like I racked my brain, like making sure I didn't miss a single person to let them know. And luckily, everyone so far has tested negative. But yeah, I think that was like kind of the biggest part. And I think like not knowing if you give it to someone who might not be able to, you know, fight it off, which I knew, like, in my mind, I never felt, like, panicked about my health or, you know, I was checking my oxygen and everything. And, like, I did get, like, the sore chest and stuff from coughing. Oh. But I just, it was a lot more of the fear of giving it to someone who doesn't have the body to fight it, you know? So,
yeah.
I think it's kind of an eye opener. It's like crazy because I mean, all of a sudden it's like overnight the cases started going crazy again. Yeah. And like, I know so many people who have it right now, and it's luckily, I mean, everyone I know is okay, but it's definitely like, be aware of it and be vigilant because like you said, we could have just done our podcast normally that day and you could have gotten it and then you could have gone and seen Red Star, you know.
Yeah, it's like it spreads. And I think for me, like after I got vaccinated, I almost felt like I had superpowers, you know. It was like I can be normal again and do all these things. And I was still kind of like, I still wear my mask at the grocery store and you know, I still wear it sometimes when I'm indoor places.
Yeah.
But outdoors, I don't even think about it. And, you know, when we go to the concert, I didn't even think to put it on. And it's like, yeah, it's almost like it's just getting really bad again. So it's kind of like mask up and
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was even to be honest, like when people were able to get vaccinated, so many of my friends like went and got it and like, you know, like immediately. And I think everyone that I know kind of was like run down for a couple of days. And this was kind of during the process where I was moving. And so I just felt like there was stuff back to back to back. And I was just kind of lazy about it. And everyone was getting it. And then I felt like cases kind of went down and no one was talking about it. And so I kind of like, I almost felt like I had superpowers because everyone else was vaccinated, which I think is a very ignorant like mentality. But
right. But then it's true. Like everything was declining. And so you're like, okay, like this is good. It's summer. It's supposed to be better in the heat or whatever.
Yeah. And so then as I was having more conversations with people and people were talking, you know, we were seeing more cases coming up. I was like, I'm going to get it next week because we were going to be back from Napa. And I was like, if it makes me a little sick or run down, I have a couple of days where I can just chill next week. And then I got COVID. So, it's been sucky. Like, by no means would I, like, it's, you know, being sick is just the worst. But like I said, I think it was more, I was just glad that everyone I know has stayed healthy and well.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so Phoebe was like been my little sleeping buddy. She's really adapted to being very lazy.
Yeah, and I'm sure she loves having you home all the time.
Yeah, I'm home a lot, but yeah, she's been good. But yeah, that's kind of been my update. I thanks to everyone who, like, a lot of people without even knowing I had COVID were like checking in and, you know, sending me like get well messages. And Tanya brought me like a basket full of literally anything you could need being sick, including Pop-Tarts, which I can't taste, but I did have one the other day.
I was so excited because I saw these Fruit Loop Pop-Tarts, which I'd never seen before. I never even knew that was an option. I was like, ooh, this will be fun for her to try. Then I forgot you lose your taste.
So. It's so trippy. Like, I remember my sister didn't have her taste and smell for like a long time. And she would say, like, it's so weird not knowing, like, if you smell bad. And in my mind, I'm like, well, I'm not saying this in like a bragging way, but I rarely like don't smell good because I do.
I can reek sometimes. So that would be detrimental.
It's so weird. And like, I light candles, but I'm like, I hope my house smells nice, which, you know, once I'm still kind of like recovering, have the cough and stuff and kind of like feel weird when I sleep and wake up. So once I like do my deep clean, I'm like going to feel better about it. But I'm like, does my house smell okay? You know, I'm just like, it feels like you just don't have this part of you that you're so used to. It's a weird sensation.
Yeah, I honestly can't imagine.
And I thought I was going to be able to eat like super healthy because I was like, well, I can't taste anything. So I might as well just like fill my body with like nutritious foods. And I'm still eating horrible.
Really? Why?
Because I crave like the texture of like comfort food.
Well, like what? Like a mac and cheese?
Yeah, well, you got me mac and cheese. I've had mac and cheese. Well, mac and cheese is nice because it's like hot and like comforting on my throat, even though it's dairy.
Right. Like, get a soup. Just get like a super healthy soup from somewhere.
I've had ramen and soup every single day. I'm like so over it. Like, it helps. It makes me feel good. So like I'll eat it to like feel comfort. But I'm like tired of the look and texture of it. But my friend from back home, he said the same thing. He was like, I really thought I was going to eat healthy because, like, what's the point? I can't taste. And
right.
He was like, I'm still eating all my, like, bad foods.
That's so interesting.
Hi, it's Ashley Iaconetti.
And it's Benjamin Higgins.
And you guys may know us from the Almost Famous podcast, where we recap the Bachelor franchise. And wow, do we have a Bachelorette finale to recap for you this week. And we've got the one and only runner-up, Justin Glaze, giving us all the tea from what he thinks about Greg's exit to
Blake and Katie being together now. What a dramatic episode. Well, hey, make sure you tune in. Listen to our podcast, Almost Famous, right now on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere you listen to podcasts.
What's new with you? Update us.
I'm just so sorry. Like, I'm sorry. And I'm sad because, like, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal. But, like, we pretty much, like, canceled our, you know, we were going to do the podcast in Napa, and we, like, Red Star and I still went because we were just kind of like,
yeah, it's Napa.
Let's go and enjoy. Yeah. But I think he was really looking forward to kind of hanging out with everybody and, you know, meeting people for the first time. So, you know, that was a bummer, but we ended up having a really good time, and we hung out with, like, Dean and Kaylin. And so that was, like, really fun, and, like, playing, like, you know, I love playing games.
Yeah.
So we played this really fun fishbowl game that I'm going to bring to, like, every single barbecue that I go to from now on. It's just, like, a really fun game. And I've just been, like, working a lot. But also, like, the other day I was really run down. Like, I think it was the day that I came and I dropped off the stuff at your house.
Yeah.
And I feel like I find myself getting so nervous every day, you know, like, I was so run down that night. And then I was like, this is what happened to Becca. And then she woke up and she had COVID. And so like, I woke up the next morning and I was like, no, like I felt okay, you know, but I feel like I'm reverting back to that, that scared feeling that I had mm-hmm. for a while, which I don't, you know, I don't think anybody likes, but.
I know. When you came over and you were talking about how you felt, I was so panicked because it was like you were describing exactly how I had felt. And I think there's also like a good old fashioned like cold going around too. So people really panicked.
I think once the world opened back up again, it was like we just went and we've been drinking and just drinking. And then I still have my normal workload. So I think I was just tired, you know, like,
yeah,
girlfriend can't be drinking multiple nights a week and still functioning and waking up early. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, yeah. 34. Hello.
The slap in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't do it like you used to.
So I know I was really bummed that everything got canceled for Napa. I really felt the responsibility. I was too tired and sick to like really take on the emotions of it, but I definitely felt that.
Yeah.
So the trip was fun though. It was like good couples weekend.
Yeah, it really, really was. And like, it's just, I don't know. And I know I've been saying this for a long time. It's not like Red Star and I are new by any means, like newly dating, but because we were locked down and he wasn't really meeting people for so long, it is so nice to like have him around, you know, and experience these things that we've experienced, you know, before he was in my life. And so, yeah, it was really, really fun.
You posted a really cute Instagram photo with the iconic Taylor Swift lyric.
The lyric just spoke what it needed to.
Well, because you, when y'all first started dating, or like, you know, I remember when that song came out, you like really resonated with it.
Mm-hmm.
The lyrics of
Invisible String. Yeah, I tell them all the time. I'm like, this song reminds me of you because, you know, before we met on Hinge, I didn't know he existed, but we frequented the same places and walked by the same courtyard like multiple times a week. And so it was kind of like we were in this weird same bubble, but didn't know each other until it was the right time for us, you know? So that song really like makes me think of him.
Isn't it weird that when, like, I mean, a lot of people, they grow up with someone and maybe end up with them or whatever, but then there's people who, like you said, there was no awareness of their existence, and then they become like everything to you.
Mm-hmm. It's bizarre.
It's such a like romantic mindset of thinking how we're all wondering, you know, searching for that type of love, and it's with a stranger before. It's with that person, you know, they're a stranger before
a total stranger, like total. Like if it was not for that dating app, there's no chance in hell I would have ever met him. No chance. And I'm like, he is my soul. Like we are literally connected souls. And so it's so bizarre that, I don't know, it's very weird. Don't get me into it because I'll just like.
Do you think that had it not been on Hinge, you would have met otherwise? Do you believe that?
I think, because you know me, I've been on the dating apps for so long, like on all of them, and I'd only met with two guys like in real life off of the dating apps, and he was one of them. Something was telling me to just go. Sierra, actually my friend Sierra, my coworker Sierra, was the one who was just like, go. But it's very, very bizarre. Very bizarre. It's an invisible string.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
Dean took those photos. They were cute, right?
Yeah, they're really cute.
Yeah.
Dean's really good at what he does.
Yeah.
I know. I wanted to hang out with everyone, too. I was excited to see him and Kaylin and hang out with you and Red Star and Nick and his girlfriend. But it'll happen again. I kept saying, like, Napa's not going anywhere. Tanya and Red Star aren't going anywhere.
That's true.
We'll do it again. It'll be okay. I was going to say, speaking of Taylor Swift, she there was, she dropped like a teaser for the red Taylor version. And I was kind of like chuckling to myself, thinking about how aware she is, how like crazy she drives everyone. And she like basically admitted it, like
loves what
she said
when she posted
something
it.
Like, I know she, but the caption said something like
manic.
Man laughs manically.
Yeah. Well, because it's so hard. Like, I honestly, the Swifties really deserve a gold star in every aspect of life, because these things that she posts, like, do you understand how many times I watched that video, screenshotted it, and tried to like put the letters around? Impossible. Impossible. You're... And then I'm reading Twitter and people are figuring it out. And I'm just like, how are you guys figuring this out? This is not normal.
They're literally like FBI agents.
Yeah, but I like everybody gets annoyed. They're like, oh, Taylor Swift just can't just like drop stuff. And I'm like, she makes us work for it. You know, just we work for our reward, and then the reward feels nicer.
I don't. Yeah, I think if anything, it's kind of like a buildup for the release of the album. It's like gives people something to do and to like get excited about. I think it's the most you know, I am just the biggest Taylor fan. I actually watched Miss Americana the other day just to like have comfort.
Oh, I watch the Pond sessions weekly. Is that not normal?
I really want to go to like a Airbnb and like a cozy cabin for the release of the red Taylor version.
We're in like the 100-day window mark, I believe.
So should we book it? Should we go ahead and get it booked?
Yeah, I mean, November 19th, I have it in my calendar. It's just a little annoying that it's so far away. Like, come on.
What are you, like, are you most excited to hear, like, the unreleased stuff? Or then her the 10-minute version of All Too Well? Like, what has you...
Off this, The Better Man. Because, you know, she wrote that song for Little Big Town?
Yeah.
And so this will be, I'm assuming... her singing it. So I think that, and that song to me just like so I think that's the one I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
And the 10-minute All Too Well is just like,
yeah, it's overwhelming. And what is your line? An embarrassment of riches.
It's an embarrassment of, like, okay, if we wanted to listen to All Too Well 6 times, it would take an hour.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I know. It's like, and those lyrics of that song are already so good that, like, I can't even imagine adding more. You know, there's just liners, like lines in there that are.
I know. And you know what I think about? So this was like the Jake Gyllenhaal era,
yeah,
of Taylor. And to me, the Red album, although it wasn't, I think Red in 1989 are tied for my favorite. I think Red lyrically is just more of like a Tanya album, because it's just so angsty and like emotional. And you know what I mean? Like the lyrics just like, just get me on a totally different level. So yeah, it's almost like this was her diary. This was her chapter with Jake. And so I think there was obviously songs in the vault that maybe were too personal for her to release at the time. But now she's in a thriving, good relationship. This is like, you know, she's like so far removed from it that I think we're going to get some really, really good stuff.
I agree. I'm very, very excited. Speaking of nothing, but something you said triggered my memory. So I read this book.
Oh, you're reading? Good for you.
I read it in 2 days. Wow. And I love to read, but like if a book doesn't have my interest, like
your mind wanders.
I just kind of, I'll forget about it. But then there, when I really like a book, I like don't forget about it to an extreme level where I'm like, I have to finish this in 24 hours. And so the book is called The Seven Husbands of Emily, or sorry, I'm okay. The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. And it was just like incredible. And so like I'll just be in the middle of my day and I'll just think about it.
Well, care to share what it's about?
Well, I don't want to give away a lot because it's about this actress who...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's the spoiler. It's about this like famous actress and just like her love life. But I just found it so beautiful. And like at the end, she kind of talks about how her whole life was getting essentially like getting wanting the approval of other people. And as she got older, she realized like that's not where she was fulfilled in her life. It was the people in her life that fulfilled her and the relationships. And I just thought it was like a beautiful, you know, I think I related to it a lot in the sense of caring so much about what people think about my life and sometimes living for that approval when that approval isn't what fuels me or like makes me happy or like, yeah.
You know what's interesting? And we had this conversation. I did Daily Pop and we were talking about this. There's this new statistic about women not wanting to have kids as much anymore these days. Can't remember what the actual statistic story was, but the conversation that we kind of had from it was how for some reason it only happens to women. It doesn't happen. Maybe it happens to men. I don't know. I'm not a man, but for women, it's like, okay, so, you know, when you're single, every conversation is, why haven't you found a guy? When are you going to find the guy? Da, da, da. Like, you know, which I was in that state for a very long time. I was like, I am trying. Like, it is not for lack of effort. I am trying. But these bozos that I'm dating, like, are just not measuring up, you know? Then you find a guy and it's like, when are you guys getting engaged? And then that's the thing. And that's all they talk about. All the pressure gets put on that. And you know, then you get engaged and it's when are you having a baby? And then you have a because like Morgan just had a baby and she was everybody's saying, when's baby number two? And it's just like there's all these pressures just put on. And like I don't even think we realize it that we I don't even think we realize that we do it. I don't think we realize that we do feel that pressure, but you really do because I think what I've realized, especially in my relationship with Red Star, is, you know, we are at different vantage points in our life, you know, like I've always wanted to find this guy that he is. And so I'm ready to like dive in full force and like do it. Right. He is not in that place. But, but when you boil it down, we love our day to day. We get along really well. We have a good chemistry. We like to live life together. And so that's the thing that is what's most important. You know what I mean? Like that's what's going to carry on is the day to day to day. All the other stuff is going to fall into place when we both feel good and comfortable, but it's like, we're so happy and we're so good. And you don't realize how much all that other pressure, you know, it does subconsciously, I think, get to you.
I mean, absolutely. I remember someone on Instagram, I did like one of those question boxes. And someone said, like, I'm like waiting to get proposed to. Like, all I want is to be engaged. Like, I just want to marry my boyfriend. We've been together for, you know, like 5 years or something. And I was like, in my mind, I think I even answered. I said something like, okay, then you're going to get the ring. You're going to get engaged. And then it'll be like waiting for the wedding date. And then the wedding date will come. And then it's, well, when are we having kids? I was like, there's this innate thing that this society, like expectation that we're kind of like born into. And it's like built inside of us that like, these are the steps of how it's supposed to look.
These are the steps of happiness.
Yeah. These are the steps of like happiness and fulfillment.
Yeah.
And if they don't go in this order or on this timeline, then you're not going to be happy or fulfilled. And then people experience happiness and fulfillment without it. And they question themselves, like, what's wrong with me?
And I also think too, it's like you jump into these things because like I have a friend who I fully believe that she just got married because she was in her late 20s and this guy is the guy she was dating. And like, she didn't think it through. You know what I mean? It wasn't, they didn't have a similar lifestyle. They didn't have, it was just, this is the guy that I'm dating. I'm in my late 20s. I'm going to get married and we're going to start a family. And then cut to 5 years from now, not so good, not so happy. And it's like, well, you know, I think because we put these pressures on, we just kind of do it to do it and we don't really think it through.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like, think of how many times we do things for other people to applaud us or tell us like good job or be like satisfied with our decisions. And it's like, they're not the ones who are living our lives. You know, like, it's like their approval is not our happiness. And I think we so often like feel pressured by that norm that we question ourselves if we're doing it differently and enjoying it being different.
Yeah.
I know I have. I mean, I question everything I do because I my whole life, I, you know, in Miss Americana, she says, like, my whole life has been working towards being the good girl or being like good. And I really like took that in because that's kind of how I feel too. Like, my whole life has been, I do think to an extent I made decisions based on what I want, but I think the bigger thing that was over me was making sure that other people thought I was doing a good job or that I was doing the right thing.
See, it's funny because for me, it's not the people pleasing. Like, I don't give two farts of what other people think I'm doing with my life. It's not their, what they think. It's this, the nuancey pressure that like, or not pressure, but the nuancey, this is how it's supposed to go. And this is, you know, like, oh, you can't do this with that person until you're married, or you can't do that. You know, it's like, but why? I'm going to enjoy my life. And I don't know. It's been, I don't know. I've been having some internal conversations just about, you know, like, yes. And I think it's okay to have desires of your heart. And that is a desire of my heart, to like get married and, you know, but not on a certain timeline.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to be dating somebody for, you know, however long it is until I'm engaged. And then I want to be married. I want to have a baby by this time. And I'm like, if one more person asks me that or tells me that I should freeze my eggs, I'm going to punch somebody. Like, I don't want to freeze my eggs. I understand that that is an option. I have looked into it. It's not for me. If you want to do it, you do it. But like, you don't need to tell me to freeze my eggs.
Yeah.
I'm good.
No. Like, we all know how old we are. We all know like what, like when, like we all know scientifically and health wise the age limit of when, you know, getting pregnant gets harder. Like, we're all very aware of that. So I find it interesting that people, I think that freezing your eggs is an amazing option for people. And right. I think it's like, wow, how cool that we have the option to do that. But I also think like, we're all aware of like how old we are and like what's going on with our body. So I know, I think everyone's in everyone's business about everything. That's what I'm really learning.
Yeah. But you know what also like really just irks my pickle?
What?
So like, I was having a conversation with a girlfriend of mine who just bought a house. This isn't you. I'm not like pretending to like,
I'm like,
and she was saying she bought a house. She's single and she did it on her own. And which is amazing, by the way. And she was like, I have so much to get, you know, because she went from an apartment to a home, and she's like, I have so much to furnish and I need to do it in chunks. And she's like, I wish that, you know, she's like, I wish that I could have some sort of registry, or like, you know, when you get married, you have a registry and you have people buy stuff for your home. And when you're a bachelorette, you have parties and people give you gifts. But nobody does it for the single woman who just bought a house or just started her own company. And it's like, it's so ass backwards to me. Like, we should be supporting the single woman who is starting her company and send her if she need, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know. I don't know what you need, but like, if you need awareness, like, let's bring awareness to your brand and your company. If you need pencils, let's like buy you some pencils, or you know what I mean? Like, our mind only goes to sending gifts and doing these things when a woman has a partner, when she finds her partner. And it's like, what the F?
I really appreciate, like, you know, lately there's the Amazon wish list for teachers, which I love, because a lot of teachers are like, you know, people who either have families or a single girl who's maybe struggling financially, doesn't have the means to like buy things for her classroom. And I love that that's kind of like a way that people have taken on helping, you know, that what you're talking about. And I think maybe I think there should be more of a normal standard around having a registry if you're a new homeowner, because like buying a home is an incredible like accomplishment.
Yeah. And even when I moved into my apartment by myself, this was my first time without roommates. And I felt overwhelmed. I needed to do it in chunks. It was like, I'll do the living room and then I'll do my bedroom. And then, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's what you do. But it would have been so nice if I had, you know what I mean? If I could just like throw up the registry and say, hey, can I get a, can I get a curtain, some curtain rods for this room? And you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, and maybe that's where, you know, I think it's also like friends celebrating each other. And I was thinking about this the other day, but I have like the greatest group of friends. Like, I feel like we were talking about this, about how like we celebrate each other and like almost overdo it sometimes to like celebrate one another and like our group of friends and how we show up. I mean, when you brought me that basket the other day, I was like, literally, I know that you're a rare breed, but I was thinking like, how lucky am I to have like a friend who's gonna show up like that, you know? And like, you sat on the like on my porch and we talked through the phone, and it like literally lifted my spirit so much, just like having, even though it wasn't like human interaction, it was like community. Seeing someone.
Yeah. By the way, do you know how many mosquito bites I got from that 1 hour sitting on your grass?
I'm imagining a lot.
You just look at my legs. It's like, yikes.
Yeah, but I think it's like just, you know, celebrating each other and showing up and like, you know, I don't know. I get what you're saying, because I think a lot of times it's like, unless you are having a baby or getting married to someone, you don't get celebrated in like life's accomplishments. And I think that it should be celebrated. So I feel very fortunate to have friends who celebrate me and the big things and the small things, but I think everyone should have that.
Yeah. When I was going to do that big party for my birthday and that was like going to be a lot of money, I was like, you know what? I also love that like Red Star did it. I mean, he didn't do like, you know, the whole, I was going to do like its grandiose thing. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this to celebrate my birthday. No, no, no. Comes once a year. I'm going to throw this banger when my book goes number one on the New York Times bestseller. You know what I mean?
It could be, you could do it for all, honestly. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to make this like a, it'll be a, I don't know. I just, and maybe I start doing it. Maybe I should start doing it like for my friends. Like, you just bought a house. I should set up a registry for you so people can send you stuff.
I don't need any more stuff. You know, I have so much stuff. I
know, but it's about
stuff.
Leading the charge. You know, it's about leading the charge.
I understand, but if you saw my front.
Changing the culture.
Area, all the boxes that I have right now, you already got me a table, so I don't need you to do anything else.
Okay, maybe not with you. I need to find another friend of mine that's, you know, starting their own company and see how I can help, you know, like make a registry and send it to their friends. Here you go. She's starting her company and she needs XYZ Lego.
Yeah. I like that.
I'm going to do it.
You should do that.
I already know who I'm going to do it for.
You already got just like that. You already got the name.
I sure do.
So there was this article that came out about Ellen Pompeo not acting after Grey's Anatomy. Do you see this?
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
I have many.
Okay, starting with one.
My biggest takeaway is people like to put women in a box. Ellen Pompeo is an actress. Now she wants to be an entrepreneur. She wants to pivot. She's in her 50s, and I effing love it. Why do we have to stay in one box our whole lives? Why can't we pivot at different stages? I think so much of us, like so many women, feel like they are, you know, in this profession, I've been doing this for 10 years, 15 years, whatever years, I can't start something new. And it's like, why not? We can change the narrative. We can change our everything whenever we want.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think about it.
So you're saying you love that she's doing that. That she's like, yeah, same. I can't say that I blame her. I mean, she's literally led the charge of like this massive show for almost 20 years. No, 18 years, 18 seasons.
2005. I'm not good at math. 2021 minus 2005.
16. Is that 16 years? Okay.
I can't do mental math. I just can't do it. 2021 minus 2005. 16 years. Correct.
Yeah, 16 years. Wow, the dead lull of us just staring at each other.
Yeah, I really hope they keep that in. It's so good.
I don't blame her for being like, I really thought the quote about like sitting in trailers and traveling and waiting to be told when I can eat lunch. Like, I was like, wow, you don't even, I know that happens for people. But in my mind, I feel like Ellen like runs the show. So yeah, she does whatever she wants. But it's like, no, she's still being directed or being like told timing. And
it's the hurry up and wait.
Yeah. So I can't say that I blame her. I mean, and also I do remember when Sandra Oh left that she was kind of like, I want to do other characters, yeah, you know, like I don't want to be Christina Yang forever, even though she'll always be Christina Yang to me. I thought that was really cool. Same with like the cast of Friends. It's like they're iconic for those roles, but like Jennifer Aniston has done so much since then.
Yeah, but I also just love her being like, I don't want to like, yeah, I don't want a PA telling me or DA. I don't know exactly what the terms are.
But AD.
AD, thank you. Telling me like when I can have lunch and stuff, you know? And I think that's something that you don't realize, you know, when you're watching something. Like even for me, I'm sure it's different when you're an actress and when you do like carpets and stuff. But I remember like at the Billboard Awards, they were like, hurry, like Tanya, like we need her on the carpet, like DJ Khaled's coming at whatever, you know, time or something. And so I'm like rushing, I'm like running in my high heels and like to get there. And then the sound check was postponed and then so like his schedule got completely changed. So I was still an hour and a half earlier, like whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like nobody's fault, nobody being any sort of anything. It's just things run behind and like schedules change. And so it's like, it's, yeah, it's this constant push and pull of hurry, wait, hurry, wait. And it's just part of it. And for me, like, that's the thrill of it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yeah, like I gotta go, you know? And then I'm like there and I'm like, okay, cool, I can chill. But I imagine when you've been doing a show like that for so many years, it's probably like kind of, she's ready to do something different.
Yeah. I remember on The Bachelor, it would be like, you have to get up and get ready for, you know, rose ceremony or whatever. And I'd get ready and be in that freaking uncomfortable dress I was wearing with horrible shoes and just be sitting there and like nothing would happen for hours. And it was so annoying. And that was the first time I experienced hurry up and wait. And it was like a term that was like frequently used on the show. And it drove me insane. Like, I would get so impatient. So I can't imagine doing that for 16 plus years.
But I think it's also different. Like, you were on The Bachelor and it's a reality show and you don't really know what you're getting yourself into. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's different when it's your occupation and you know what I mean? Like, there's drive and passion behind it for you. You're like, what the hell am I doing? You know what I mean? You're like, okay.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, even more so to, yeah, put yourself in that situation knowing. And I do think there's drive and passion, but even I think that's why she started doing like producing and directing the episodes, because I think she was like, I need more of a challenge. I'm not feeling that anymore, just acting. So
yeah, it's kind of like, so Benny Blanco is an artist, but he's an incredible, like songwriter, song maker, song everything, producer everything. And I was listening to this interview that he gave and he was just like, you know, because he was always behind the scenes for a really long time. He was just doing it for other people. And then he decided to step out and kind of be an artist. And people were asking him, like, why did you decide to do that? Like, you were making bank and doing great and da-da-da. And he was just like, it's like, let's say you are, like, the best at making pizza and everybody just wants you to make a pizza. You're constantly, every day you're making pizza. One day you wake up and want to make a salad. Mm-hmm. And try that out and see what that's like and test your, you know. So, I don't know. I think it was, like, such an interesting analogy from music to, like, cooking. But it, like, really resonated with me. I was like, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. Really? You really held on
it
to
it? It did.
That?
I really held on to it. I listened to that interview in 2018 and I'll never forget it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really stayed with you.
Stayed with me.
I think we have an email, and I don't know if anyone's noticed yet, but Mark and Easton aren't here, so.
Yeah, it's just a girls' trip today. It's just, you know, we're modern women. It's all in, wow.
Wow, that was a beautiful rendition.
Thank you. I just created it.
Do you want to read it? Because, you know.
Yeah, you're struggling. Yeah, I see it. I feel it. I'm sorry. Okay, so this is from Anonymous. I'll try and do it like Mark. What are your feelings? I can't do it. I can't do Mark.
No, it's not Mark at all.
No, I know. Okay. What are your feelings on comparing your relationship to the marriage of your parents? My parents have been together for 30 years and have what I see as the perfect marriage. I love the way they love each other. I am currently dating and I feel like I use my parents' relationship as a measuring tool of what my possible future relationship could look like. Part of me feels like this is unrealistic due to the dating culture today. And the other part of me feels like it's okay to have deal breakers and standards about what I want. What do you think?
I actually really relate to this because my parents have been together for a really long time, and I always say like they love each other, but like even more so, they still like each other. Like they still make each other laugh. They still like are comfortable and like prefer probably just hanging out the two of them. And so I always felt like that's exactly what my relationship was going to be like. And I will say like, what doesn't change in different cultures and generations is love and like putting work into a relationship. Like those things have always been the same and will always be the same. And I think it's like making the decision of how you handle that, because I think your parents have probably a beautiful relationship, but no marriage is perfect. And I guarantee that they've had times where they've had to maybe work harder at it in certain times of their life than other times. And I think it's very possible for you to find a relationship that's like that, that has love and, you know, the willingness to work at the relationship. But I think it really comes down to a lot of times this generation is very much a lot more empowered. You know, I do think like women especially have a lot more, I think, courage and power than we've ever had before to have a say in what the relationship looks like and their happiness. And I think sometimes we, you know, look at our parents and think like it's just perfect, but there's no perfect relationship.
So that's like kind of what I was picking up on the email is when she said, or he, I don't know, it's anonymous. They seem to have the perfect marriage. And I think that that perception is what screws us all up, because there is no perfect relationship. I don't even think it's a stretch to say every relationship has some sort of squabble, like, or some sort of like, you are different individuals. You were raised differently. You had different lives. You're intertwining your lives. You know, like, I obviously think that there are some marriages that really thrive and are healthy and are happy, and 90% of it is good, but there's still disagreements. There's still some parts where you're going to have to compromise. And so I think, you know, sometimes what we see seems perfect, but you don't see the full story. So I think that can really trip people up, is like this belief of what it's supposed to look like. I know for me, that was a really big thing. Like, I was always saying, is it right? Or should it be like this, or da, da, da. And the answer is it shouldn't be like anything. Like, you get to decide what type of relationship you have. You get to write the rules. If you want to meet someone and get married in 2 weeks, you can meet someone and get married in 2 weeks. If you want to meet someone and you don't want to get married for 20 years, then don't get married for 20 years. There's no right and wrong, and there's no perfect. And it's like, I think there's something really kind of incredible and empowering when I kind of started to realize that is like, there's no right or wrong in any relationship. It's just what feels good to you. And so you mm-hmm. get to decide, like you and your partner get to decide what kind of relationship you have. And there's something so beautiful about that, you know, like Red Star and I just, you know, we were like, we're going to have issues and we're not going to agree on things and we're going to have different timetables on things. But when we have those conversations, we've said, we're coming from a place of positivity. We're coming from a place of wanting to understand the other person and where they're at and what they're experiencing and just talk about it and just have the conversation and come from a place of love instead of mm-hmm. trying to prove a point or be right or whatever it is, because there is no right or wrong. It's like, it's really weird. Once you kind of start to have that perspective, the world changes.
Yeah, I also think like my parents got married. I don't even know. It was like 3 months and they eloped or something. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, had a lot of challenges in their marriage. But they always like fought for it because they loved each other and wanted to be together. But like I always sometimes like romanticized yeah. their relationship because it was like this fleeting, like they got married and eloped because they just wanted to be married. And I always thought I would have that. And I am so the opposite. Like, I'm scared of commitment. I'm scared of marriage. I don't know, like, where that fear comes from, because I grew up with, like, a healthy marriage and, like, something that most people would want, you mm-hmm. know? So I don't know where that comes from. But I always felt like something was wrong with me that I'd never had the desire to meet someone and then get married. In fact, I'm like the opposite. So I think sometimes like you can have an idea of what a relationship looks like that maybe you might have one day. But I also think that, like Tanya said, you're such a different person. They were raised by their parents and you're raised by your parents, and the world's going to look different to you and you're going to have different relationships than they have. So yeah. I think like being able to respect the relationship they have is healthy. Like, I think you're so lucky to be able to look at your parents and see something that you want, because a lot of people don't have that. But also like your life is going to be your own and it's going to be different and it's going to be beautiful, and you're going to find someone who fulfills you in a way that's your own fulfillment.
But it's true. Like, you get to write your own story, and that is effing empowering and cool. But also, yeah. Nobody's perfect. So,
and also, like, have standards and deal breakers. Like, those things are healthy. Oh, don't yeah. like totally eliminate that just because it's not like you just have to make it work with whoever.
Oh yeah, like, I mean, you're talking to Queen Red that. Flag. Like, I stopped. I didn't go on a second date with a guy because I saw a pull-up bar in his bedroom. I was like, yeah, no, not dating Mike. Ew. The situation.
Wait, who was that?
Guy in college.
Oh, wow.
I had high standards even in college, you know? Like, no, not going to cut it for me.
My standards were so, like, unrealistic in high school. Like, my old journals are so funny.
I still have those. Like, no, my therapist even says, she's like, Tanya, you think that this man's going to come in on a horse with a carriage and a glass slipper? And I'm like, you're damn right.
No, but like, I'd be like, I really, please don't let him have bad breath in the morning.
Oh, wow. Really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I just like had, you know, it was
Who
a lot
has
of
good breath in the morning. Nobody.
Well, I was hoping for a unicorn, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know one person that doesn't have stank breath in the morning.
Anyways, I'm just saying, like, I think having standards is okay, but also, like, finding where you might compromise, and that's your own decision.
Right.
So,
on that note, I know that this has been more activity than you have done in the past 2 weeks. So I will reprieve you.
Reprieve. I don't know.
I'm gonna let you go.
Oh, thank you.
Uh huh. I will wrap this up with a nice little bow. It was so nice having you back. I've missed you. I hope that you get stronger every day, and I'll probably talk to you in 1 hour.
Okay, I love you. I'm happy to be back. I hope everyone takes care of yourself. I, you know, I do have like a very annoying cough, but I was very lucky and was able to get through this with mostly a positive attitude and a lot of rest. And, you know, that's a fortunate thing that I'm able to say. So everyone, please take care of yourself, take care of each other, and we'll be back next week. Happy to be back.
Love you
all. Bye.
Bye.